Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the Packers-Cowboys NFC Divisional Playoff getting closer by the day. Sunday afternoon, 3:40 kickoff in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium. The latest on Jordy Nelson, which is what the fans want to know, is the Packers are still holding out hope. They haven't ruled him out for the game. Still hoping that maybe he'll be able to do something in practice on Saturday and perhaps take the field on Sunday. But in listening to Coach McCarthy and several players in the locker room on Wednesday, they're very confident in this offense's ability to continue rolling the way it has without Nelson. There doesn't seem to be any fear or any buy-in to the theory that the offense is going to suddenly revert to the 2015 Nelson-less doldrums, I guess you might say.
And I think if you're looking for a perfect example of why they should have that confidence, I mean, look at those last 33 minutes of that game against the Giants. I mean, this was a team that when Jordy Nelson got hurt, they were already up against it. Their back was against the wall. They had to find an answer not only to not having Nelson, but just trying to get the offense back into a rhythm. They were able to accomplish that. You saw big plays from Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb stepping up at in many different moments, Geronimo Allison, Jared Cook. The list goes on and on of the different guys that they turned to throughout the course of that game. And, Mike, that's the biggest difference. When you look at where they were at last year compared to now, it's that depth. It's the dangerous kind of weapons that they have. Devontae Adams talked about it yesterday, too, saying that, you know, this is a team that has a bunch of guys that can step up. And I think there's confidence that depending on what happens with Nelson, if he's available, if he's not available, if he's limited, that they'll have guys that'll be able to answer the call.
Yeah, and what I also like about this team, we've seen it throughout the course of the season, their resiliency, their ability to deal with and overcome the adversity here down the stretch. And when I look back to last season, the divisional playoff game against Arizona, obviously you don't have Nelson. He'd been gone all year. You lose Devontae Adams to a knee injury from the Washington game the week before. You lose Randall Cobb to the bruised lung or perhaps punctured lung, whatever it was, in the first quarter of the game in Arizona. You're down to Jeff Janis, Jared Aberderis, and James Jones as your only three healthy wide receivers. And still, the Packers got that game to overtime and came, you know, within a couple of snaps of maybe getting to the NFC Championship game. This team, this 2016 team, is so much better equipped to deal with the absence of Jordy Nelson when you look at everything they went through last year and everything they've already dealt with this year.
Yeah, and it was something I wrote about on our website, too. It's kind of this perfect little blend of some really natural God-given ability and then also just some luck. The fact that they have been able to keep Devontae Adams healthy. Randall Cobb, I know, has dealt with the hamstring injury, more recently the ankle injuries, but he looks like he's going to be able to make an impact here down the stretch. Jared Cook has gotten healthy at the right time. So while they don't have Nelson, who's been the rock, he led them in receiving, I should say, offensive snaps by a receiver. Getting myself tongue-tied there. But they still can endure. I think that that's the philosophy that they're talking about. That's the mindset they have. And whether it is, you know, turning to a Jared Cook or even a Ty Montgomery or Aaron Ripkowski, they have guys on this offense that know at any given time it could be their moment.
Yeah, and we've seen guys throughout the season step up in those situations. Geronimo Allison stepping in for two games when Randall Cobb was out here down the stretch. We've seen Ty Montgomery and Aaron Ripkowski, as you mentioned, take over a lot of the running back duties. Christian Michael thrown in there as well all throughout this time that Eddie Lacy's been out. The Packers have dealt with this kind of thing before. I thought it was interesting. Aaron Rodgers kind of ended his media session with all the cameras in front of his locker yesterday, acknowledging in some ways that it would seem unlikely that Nelson is going to play. They're still holding out hope for it, but then saying, hey, if we can get this one and keep the season going, then maybe we get him back next week. So there's still a lot to look forward to here, and as you have to at this time of year, the Packers are just taking it one day at a time.
Well, and you got to look big picture here too. I mean, the Packers are in this for the long haul. They're not going into Dallas thinking that this is their last game. If they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, there's another 3-4 weeks of football to be played, including the bye week before that game and going down to Houston. So this is going to be really important for them to not only think about this game against the Cowboys and needing to get this victory, but also what the long-term ramifications are of that. I think the one thing a lot of guys, Rodgers alluded to it, I know Devontae Adams talked about it, you do feel for Nelson on a personal level. This is a man that came back, worked diligently to get back on the field this season. to be back in this predicament, to be back in the playoffs, you know, to get the team in the offense back to where they were accustomed to being. And whatever happens with this, even if he is able to play but is limited, that's still reps that he wouldn't be able to enjoy. And I think that's the one thing that has sunk in for a lot of guys is that, you know, there's a little disappointment there, but also, you know, a call to action to the rest of the guys that this is the chance and opportunity to step up.
Yeah, you do have to feel for Nelson having missed all of last season and really having what I think you and I both agree is a comeback player of the year season to see it. Potentially cut short here, depending on what happens with this rib injury. Tough to swallow, but the players are going to strap it on and play, as they say. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, we talked about this subject a lot throughout the course of this 7-game winning streak, but it bears repeating. The way the Green Bay Packers have protected the football on offense, and certainly going on the road again here for a playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys, you'd really like to see the offense continue to protect the ball and avoid turnovers the way they have. Just the one turnover during this winning streak, the fumbled snap against Houston down by the goal line, that has been it. And you have to feel like if the Packers really can keep that going and continue to not turn the ball over on offense, you have to like their chances wherever they play and whoever they're playing against.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, Mike. We always talk so much about, okay, throwing for 300 yards or rushing for 100 yards or, you know, getting such and such amount of touchdowns, but the turnovers really are the biggest thing in this game. And I think that's one of the reasons why when you look at the 2016 season as a whole, you know, interceptions have been down. They've been, like, rapidly decreasing over the years. I know when you know, we got started probably watching this game a lot, if you had a 2-to-1 interception, you know, touchdown interception ratio, that was acceptable.
Yeah.
That was fine. That was par for the course in a lot of cases. Many of Tom Brady's first few seasons were right around that. So that wasn't looked at as a negative, but now you're seeing, okay, 4-to-1, 5-to-1, some of the things that Aaron Rodgers has done this year. That's what you need to do because the bar keeps getting higher and higher, and the margin for error keeps decreasing. So both from the Packers' perspective of Aaron Rodgers being able to control the game, not have any fumbles, not have any interceptions, as we've always known him not to do, in addition to giving these running backs credit and the job that Ben Sermons has done of making sure that it hasn't been slipping out on that side of it either, the attention to detail has been there, the discipline's been there, and they're definitely been reaping the benefits of that this season.
Yeah, Rodgers was kind of funny yesterday at his locker with some reporters after the cameras had gone away. Someone brought up the interception-free streak, and he immediately just kind of reaches over and knocks his knuckle on the wooden locker. But what he's done here, his last interception in the fourth quarter at Tennessee, he's now gone 285 passes without an interception. The franchise record is Bart Starr at 294. But just to clarify, Rodgers can't actually break that franchise record now because that record is regular season games only. Rodgers ended 2016 at 245, threw another 40 passes in the Giants game without an interception. So he'll enter 2017 at 245 as he tries to break Bart Starr's official franchise record. But nonetheless, 285 passes without an interception. And as I've talked about before, I can only remember one pass, the one in Chicago towards the end zone to Nelson, that was really even in danger of being intercepted. He's done a remarkable job, as he puts it, of in certain situations when you do have to cut it loose, it's still a calculated risk. It's not just footloose and fancy free football.
Right. First off, and just that point about Starr, because I find that to be such a remarkable stat, Rodgers could go 500 attempts without an interception. To me, I don't think it's ever going to be able to top what Starr did in the 60s. That's ridiculous. 294 consecutive passes. What year was that? I'm trying to remember. Was that 64?
Yeah, I can't remember. It was in that mid-60s range. Yeah.
To be able to do that in that era.
In that era, yeah.
People weren't throwing 294 times a season. So, I mean, regardless, moving on, to your point, Rodgers does it better than anybody. And I think that was the big thing, too, this year, being able to protect the football and be cognizant of it when he isn't passing. You know, Mike McCarthy gave him a lot of credit I think that was on the touchdown pass to Davante Adams that where he was talking about when he was kind of maneuvering around, he was buying time, but also being able to protect the football the way he does, not exposing it to a potential strip sack.
Yeah, keeping two hands on it in the pocket at all times.
That's muscle memory. That's just reaction. Because, I mean, when you're in the heat of the moment there, you're trying to maneuver, you're trying to give your receivers time. There's so many things you're worrying about. To have that level of attention to detail, remarkable. And I think that's been a big thing for Rodgers this year. I mean, he's already the best that there is, and he's at the peak of his powers in terms of quarterback, but that's the one thing I think he's made a lot of strides in this year, is not exposing that football to a potential, you know, getting knocked out or some kind of turnover.
Yeah, and he acknowledged that it's been a conscious effort on his part. When you go back to the early part of the season, his last lost fumble before the Houston fumbled snap that we talked about, his last lost fumble was against Chicago on that Thursday night game way back in week 7 that the Bears actually recovered for a touchdown. That was 3 lost fumbles in a span of 5 games for Aaron Rodgers, which is maybe one of the worst streaks of his career. The following week after that, he's out there running through the gauntlet with the football, like the receivers and the running backs and the tight ends do and everything. He really put a conscious effort into almost retraining himself in terms of the ball security, like you say, the attention to detail. It comes down to the practice and the training to get the muscle memory in order to do that, and he's gotten himself back to that point now because the results are obvious.
Yeah, and that's why you practice. So it's you react, you don't think, because that's just the natural thing. I know when I'm playing basketball, I think too much. You don't react enough. And that's one thing, whether it's him in the pocket or his escapability or finding receivers open, it's incredible what a quarterback has to be able to process in that moment. So I don't fault anybody for potentially having an error or a lapse in that way, but to have Rodgers clean that up as well, it's played a big role in this winning streak. And certainly when you look at how the defense has been taking the ball away, it's the biggest difference in this team in general.
Yeah, and Rodgers is also very aware. He has a very good memory, as we all know, and he remembers against the Cowboys the first time, the quarterback draw by the goal line. He didn't protect the football. David Irving knocked it out, and the Cowboys recovered inside the 5, took away a big scoring opportunity from the Packers, and was a big play in that ball game. So with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, I mentioned the fumbled quarterback draw by Rodgers from the first game. That's certainly one of the biggest differences between this Packers team we see now and the one from the first Cowboys matchup, is the way they're protecting the football. There were 4 turnovers by Green Bay, very uncharacteristic, certainly, of the way the Packers have played of late. But some personnel differences as well. When we try to compare the first Packers-Cowboys game to this one coming up, one of the biggest that jumps out to me is Jared Cook was not part of this offense, as he was injured for the game back in October. And on the Cowboys side, no Dez Bryant. He'll be back out there on Sunday. So some different things to pay attention to that aren't on the film from that first matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first off, you look at the Cowboys, they're going to be as healthy as they've been all season going into this game. I mean, on Wednesday, they had everybody on their 53-man roster practice in some capacity. Which is, I mean, for this time of the year is unbelievable. But for the Packers' perspective, this offense doesn't really have many similarities to that offense I think we saw earlier this season. As Aaron Rodgers talked about, it's really different schematically. They made a lot of changes in that way. But also, as you mentioned, with personnel, I mean, Jared Cook coming back, being back in this scheme here for the last 7-8 weeks, he really has added a new dimension to things. You can use him outside. You can use him inside. He can stretch the boundary. He stretches the middle of the field. He can act underneath. A lot of things that defenses have to be really keep their attention drawn towards. And then also now you look at Davante Adams as a much different player, is really a breakthrough kind of guy now for this offense. Ty Montgomery was just beginning the running back stage of his career during that first game against the Cowboys, still ended up catching 10 passes in that contest, though. So, yes, there aren't a whole lot of really similarities between the two. This is an entirely new ball game, and I think if you listen to the comments coming out of Dallas and both Green Bay, I think both teams are very aware of that.
Yeah, definitely. The getting back to Jared Cook, I know I pointed out a couple of things over the course of the season in my What You Might Have Missed piece on the website. We've talked about it here in terms of the attention that Jared Cook draws. For the fans out there, if you want to go on Packers.com and check out this week's Rock Report, Larry McCarron's video strictly from the Giants game showing what the Giants were doing defensively against Jared Cook and how that created some other openings and opportunities. Really a great video illustration of what we've been talking about, the attention that Jared Cook commands and the impact that he has on the field.
Yeah, and the Packers knew that. I mean, I think I've said this before, but going back to the owners' meetings back in March when Mike McCarthy was sitting there, they hadn't signed Jared Cook. I think he might have been in it for a visit at that point. And if you know anything about McCarthy, Thompson, and the Packers, they don't talk about guys who aren't signed on their roster. But there was this glimmer in McCarthy's eye when he talked about Cook and when he was asked about Cook that you typically don't see if it's like, well, you know, why don't you sign so-and-so, or you know, is there any interest in this player? There was something more to that, and I think within – I want to say 3 or 4 days of McCarthy talking about him, the Packers actually did execute that contract and got him in here. He knew what he could potentially bring. And it's nothing against Richard Rodgers. Richard Rodgers is still an important part of this offense, but there just are so few players like Cook in the NFL with his height, his speed, so many things that he brings to the table, and he's still only 29 years old. The first time he's getting to work with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and I think you're seeing it benefit both parties.
Yeah. The other interesting thing I look at from the Packers offense, I've joked about this with you, every time I think I've figured out what Mike McCarthy wants to do with the running game, I'm completely wrong.
Yeah.
Whether it's you look at the Chicago game, everything's Ty Montgomery. Then all of a sudden in Detroit, they're feeding the ball to Aaron Ripkowski. And then in the third quarter against the Giants last week, Christian Michael gets the ball 4 consecutive handoffs and starts moving the offense down the field. I have no idea what Mike McCarthy's plan is with the running game from week to week. But by the same token, it's not as though there is the bell cow running back. There isn't the Ezekiel right. Elliott on this team. But Mike McCarthy is making it work. When he finds somebody who's being productive, then that becomes his guy, at least for that stretch. And so far it's worked, because in this offense, the way Aaron Rodgers is playing, you just need enough of a threat of the running game to keep the defense honest. And that's all Mike McCarthy really wants now.
Absolutely, Mike. You always hear about the running back by committee. Well, the Packers are mostly a running back by hot hand kind of committee. But you don't have Eddie Lacy. Starks is still in the concussion protocol.
Right.
This is what you have to do. You have to be unique. You have to do something different. The Packers have done that. When you look at Montgomery's conversion, the fact that Aaron Ripkowski is running the ball more in one game than he basically had the rest of his career combined, this is the way the offense has to go. And to the Packers' credit, they've been successful with it. They found ways to be able to move the football in that way. And we'll see what they dial up for the league's top-rated run defense on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. It's the constant evolution of this offense, and maybe another phase of it comes into play on Sunday if Jordy Nelson is indeed on the sideline. So with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, last segment we were talking about a previous Packers-Cowboys game. There's a previous Packers-Cowboys playoff game that wasn't all that long ago, just 2 years ago in this divisional round. It was at Lambeau Field. The Cowboys came in with the league's leading rusher in DeMarco Murray, just like they have Ezekiel Elliott now. But I think as that game unfolded, it still came down to the pressure that the Packers got on Tony Romo in some crucial passing situations, some third down situations, not to mention, obviously, the fumble that Julius Peppers caused with DeMarco Murray. Any turnovers the Packers can get on defense would be big. But keeping pressure on the quarterback when they get them in the passing situation to get that ball out of the quarterback's hand as soon as possible is going to be important.
You don't know how many chances you're going to get at Prescott. That offensive line is just going to, it's going to be difficult to penetrate. There's no question about that. that's not to say the Packers can't do it, but it also means that when you do get your opportunity, you have to make sure you execute on it. We heard earlier this season, Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy both talk about at times where the Packers would, they'd get a sack, or I think there was one instance where Nick Perry had a sack, but McCarthy was quick to point out that, you know, they could have went for the strip sack in that instance as well.
Yeah.
Finding ways to get those takeaways. They've been doing that really well, especially Peppers and Matthews in these last few games. With Prescott, that's going to be important. And as Matthews said, too, he remembers what it was like in 2009 when he was the rookie, when it was his first playoff game going into Arizona and trying to, you know, get used to that condition. And there is a barrier that everybody has to break. Now, it might not be a thick one. It might be just a really quick, okay, for Prescott, I'm here, this is the moment, any other game. But there is going to still be something mentally for him to overcome. And the Packers' pass rush, that's going to be important to be able to get after him. He doesn't make many mistakes. And if you can force them into one or two, that could ultimately be the difference in this football game.
Yeah, I know there's a perception out there amongst the fans from the Packers side that, you know, the Cowboys just cruised to all these victories in the regular season. They weren't put in a lot of pressure situations in the fourth quarter. That's not exactly true. No. I actually counted 4 of their 13 victories. They trailed either going into the fourth quarter or trailed in the fourth quarter at some point. Now, 4 out of 13 wins is not a lot, but it's not as though Dak Prescott and these young stars, these young rookie stars for the Cowboys haven't been put in some tough pressure cooker situations.
No, they've been tested, no question. And much like, you know, Tony Romo was tested for a lot of years too. It's just about trying to find that comfort level. And the nice thing for Prescott, as we've talked about earlier this week, there's so many weapons he can turn to, whether it's Elliott, Bryant, Beasley, Terrence Williams. There's different guys that can be that guy to step up for him at any given time. What the Packers need to do is they need to make sure it stays in Prescott's hands, make sure it's him that has to make the big play.
Yeah, for sure. You don't want to get behind by a couple of scores where that offense just really settles in and feels like they're in control. But with that, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.